Reading from Granthara, Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 1, Text 12. Ya esa rajan apikala isita. Sattvam suranikam ivadhyayata ata. Sattvam suranikam ividayat yatyata. Ivaidya yati yata. Tat Prayanikan asuran sura priyo. Rajas tamaskan praminoti urusrava. Ya esa rajan apikala isita. Sattvam suranikam ividyayati yatha. Tat pratyanikan asuran sura priyo. Rajas tamaskan praminoti urusrava. Mataji's, please. Ya which Esha this Rajan O King Api even Kala time Ishita the Supreme Lord Satvam the mode of goodness Suranikam numbers of demigods Eva certainly Edayati causes to increase Atha hence Tat Pratyanikan inimical to them Asuran the demons Surapriya being the friend of the demigods. Raja Tamaskan, covered by passion and ignorance. Praminoti, destroys. Urusrava, whose glories are widespread. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Translation, O King, this time factor enhances the sattva guna. Thus, although the Supreme Lord is the controller, He favors the demigods who are mostly situated in sattva guna. Then the demons who are influenced by tamo guna are annihilated. The Supreme Lord induces the time factor to act in different ways, but He is never partial, rather His activities are glorious. Therefore is called Urusrava. Purport. The Lord says in Bhagavad Gita 9:29, Samoham sarva bhuteshu name dvesho stina priya. I envy no one, nor am I partial to anyone. I am equal to all. The Supreme Personality of Godhead cannot be partial. He is always equal to everyone. Therefore, when the demigods are favored and the demons are killed, this is not His partiality, but the influence of the time factor. A good example in this regard is an electrician connects both a heater and a cooler to the same electrical energy. The cause of heating and cooling is the electrician's manipulation of the electrical energy according to his desire. But factually, the electrician has nothing to do with causing heat or cold, nor with the enjoyment or suffering that results. There have been many historical incidents in which the Lord killed a demon, but the demon attained a higher position by the mercy of the Lord. Putana is an example. Putana's purpose was to kill Krishna. Aho bakiyam stanakala kutam. She approached the house of Nanda Maharaj with the purpose of killing Krishna by smearing poison on her breast. Yet when she was killed, she attained the highest position, achieving the status of Krishna's mother. Krishna is so kind and impartial that because he sucked Putana's breast, he immediately accepted her as his mother. The superfluous activity of killing Putana did not diminish the Lord's impartiality. He is Surudam Sarva Bhutanam, the friend of everyone. Therefore, partiality cannot apply to the character of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who always maintains His position as the Supreme Controller. The Lord killed Putana as an enemy, but because of His being the Supreme Controller, she attained an exalted position as His mother. Srila Madhva Muni therefore remarks, Kale Kala Vishaya Pisita Dehadi Karanatvat Suranikam Ivastitam Satvam. Ordinarily a murderer is hanged, and in the Manu Samhita it is said that a king bestows mercy upon a murderer by killing him, thus saving him from various kinds of suffering. Because of his sinful activities, such a murderer is killed by the mercy of the king. Krishna, the supreme judge, deals with the matters in a similar way because he is the supreme controller. The conclusion, therefore, is that the Lord is always impartial and always very kind to all living entities. Om Ajnana Timurandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militamena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Devamrita Swaminiti Namine Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvisesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Destarine Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nitananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sivasadi Gauru Bhakta Vanda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Beg the blessings of all of you so I could say something relevant and Krishna conscious. Sorry you didn't see much of me last week. I was under the weather. I had flu and many health problems connected to that. It's interesting, Prabhupada is writing here about Manu Samhita, how it is said that a king bestows his mercy upon a murderer by killing him. I was cultivating this one American person a few years ago, and he was asked to come for the jury duty. And, you know, there was a room full of people discussing whether this guy should be, sentenced to death or not. And this person, new to Krishna consciousness, he was happily agreeing. He was saying, it says in our books that he should be killed and this is the mercy that we are showing. So everybody was blown away by his enthusiasm to kill this guy. And all the authorities came to him and said, what religion are you? And he said, I'm a Hare Krishna. And they said, if that's the case, you don't have to come for the jury duty anymore. They're trying to relieve him. But he kept saying, no, I want to come. But I'm making a point here. You guys are not understanding what I'm saying. So kind of confused everybody. That was funny. I was preparing for the class. It came to mind. So the point Prabhupada mentions, emphasizes, is that Krishna's mercy. And it's hard for us to understand in the neophyte stage. When we are beginners in Krishna consciousness, we tend to see everything from the material platform. We want everything big numbers. That's how we calculate, otherwise it cannot be spiritual, as long as this is like long hours, big numbers, big crowd. So it's hard for us to understand how Krishna's killing is also mercy. But it's also explained that Krishna's mercy actually comes to the living entities through his devotees. That way we can easily access it and understand, just like by studying the life of the acharyas like Srila Prabhupada, we can understand Krishna's mercy. So we are actually in the seventh canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, and Srila Prabhupada actually explains, he actually writes that if somebody reads till the ninth canto of the Bhagavatam, then he becomes God-realized soul. So I was thinking, how is that? You know, I've read Bhagavatam at least like couple of times, and you know, if I look at myself, like I was thinking, am I really God realized soul? You know, what does that mean? I was thinking about this point, and then I came across these memories. This is the point I wanted to make, how by studying the life and activities of the acharyas, we could easily understand to a certain extent Krishna's mercy and Krishna's activities, because they're representing Krishna. So I came across this pastime, these memories of Prabhupada, where Nanda Kumar Prabhu, who was Prabhupada's cook and servant in the 70s, he went with Srila Prabhupada to South India And they were staying in a very rural place. There were no cars, nothing. And they were staying right next to the ocean. So Prabhupada told this devotee, Nanda Kumar, and a few others to go and swim in the ocean. Prabhupada said, this is very purifying and very healthy. You should do that. So everybody went, and Prabhupada also joined. And, you know, they had a coconut, you know, fresh coconut, big coconut, and the sun was like, you know, shining, and the water was like warm, and they're swimming. And so this devotee had a question. He said to Prabhupada, you know, how is that you're always telling us to, you know, become free from sense enjoyment, but this is like, you know, perfect sense enjoyment. You know, the skin is feeling warm, and the water is so nice, and there's coconut, and there's sunshine. And Prabhupada said, you know, just for a Krishna conscious person, this is a perfect situation to become Krishna conscious. Because Prabhupada pointed out to him how the sun is the eye of Krishna, and the sky, color of the sky, is Krishna's color coming through the Brahma Jyoti. And water, Krishna says, you know, it's him, rasoham apsu kaunteya. And he's in the presence of his spiritual master. So Prabhupada pointed out to him, you know, where is the question of sense enjoyment or maya here? It's like, you know, I'm only seeing Krishna here. So I was thinking how a beautiful answer to the question, how just by reading 9 cantos of Bhagavatam, you can actually become God-realized. Of course, there are different levels of God realization. But this is a perfect example how, you know, we can start seeing Krishna everywhere. And I was also going through the memories. I came across this realization, teeny realization, how Prabhupada was a very loving person. Very loving and very, very sensitive to the needs of his devotees. It was an instance where the same devotee, Nanda Kumar, Prabhupada told him that, you know, he should go to India and help Jayapataka Swami and Achyutananda Swami to spread Krishna consciousness. But his temple president, you know, suggested to this devotee, Nanda Kumar, that you're actually very young and passionate, you know. I don't see you making in India. But better to get married and, you know, live as a householder. And it was very attractive to him being a young person. So he agreed. And Prabhupada was actually surprised. Prabhupada said, I invited you to India, but you didn't even say anything to me. Now you want to stay here and get married? What's going on? Anyway, Prabhupada was leaving. And as he was leaving, he saw Nanda Kumar Prabhu actually crying, waving to Prabhupada. And just from that, Prabhupada actually told the devotees in the car, when you go back to the temple, send him to India. I can see that he had a change of heart. Actually, he realized he made a mistake and he wants to be with me, so send him to India right away. So I was just thinking how amazingly sensitive Prabhupada was that, you know, just from, you know, so many devotees are crying, but he could see this as a symptom of a change of heart. And also when they were celebrating the Kumbh Mela in India, there's like, you know, apparently like 18 million people in like 7 miles of radius, millions and millions of people. And there were some of Prabhupada's disciples, they were actually going around and telling different camps of Babaji's, hey, you know, you should give up this nonsense. And should surrender to Prabhupada. And when the word got back to Prabhupada, Prabhupada actually called this devotee and said, do you know what you're saying? Prabhupada said, I appreciate your faith in me, but do you know what you're saying? Some of the guys here, they're actually 2,000 years old. 2 to 5,000 years old. And you're going around telling them that they should surrender to me. What is this? Where do you get this kind of idea from? And Prabhupada was actually telling the devotees that we are actually here to get their association. These people are so exalted, so therefore, you shouldn't have this kind of mentality where we are like superior to them. But we should serve them and get their association like this. So Prabhupada was very loving and sensitive to the needs of his devotees and his audience. But he was also strict. Especially when it came to the point of emphasizing and point of chanting 16 rounds and 4 regulative principles. Prabhupada was actually very strict. But Prabhupada didn't think so himself. Prabhupada said, I'm not strict. I'm just pretending to be strict. But my Guru Maharaj, he was actually strict. So Prabhupada said like that about himself. So when Prabhupada actually was walking in France one morning, and he was with devotees, and he actually told Shyam Sundar Prabhu that when he first came to America, his desire was to make all sannyasis. He said he wanted to have an army of sannyasis and, you know, focus on that and travel the globe and spread Krishna consciousness like that. And then Prabhupada said, Prabhupada said, I realized it's not possible. It's like the example of a spiritual donkey. Growing up, we read this story, spiritual donkey, you know. What it means is, a donkey, one sculpture, he made a deity of Lakshmi and he put that on the back of a donkey and he was going to the market to sell the deity, but everybody was giving obeisances to the, Lakshmi deity, but the donkey somehow thought everybody is bowing down to him, and he was very happy. He was in ecstasy. So wherever he went, everybody would stop him and give obeisances. And after the deity was sold, he was coming back to the same spots and he would stop and wait for them to give obeisances, but nobody cared, you know. Without the presence of the goddess, it was just like a useless donkey. So similarly, many times we forget the glories, who they actually belong to, and we try to take credit and act, you know, out of ego. And like Prabhupada said in his own words, like, you know, the example of Punarmushika Bhava. Then if we forget, and as soon as we are not conscious even for a moment, then we lose all fortune and respect. Because all the credit actually belongs to Krishna and the spiritual master. As soon as we claim it's ours, then we are in trouble. So Prabhupada said that was his desire, but it didn't happen. So Prabhupada said, let them get married and give a son to their wives, and then let them take sannyas. And Prabhupada said he realized how that was also not happening. That was also not possible. So Prabhupada said, but I came to this realization that everybody should just chant Hare Krishna. And Prabhupada said, yes, that's working. So Prabhupada was very strict about this point, about chanting, because that's the only thing that works in Kali Yuga. And Prabhupada, as we know, thousands and thousands of lectures, he emphasized same thing, 4 regulative principles in chanting. So this devotee, Nanda Kumar Prabhu, he was remembering how he was staying with Prabhupada in this Lasi Enaga temple. And Prabhupada had a cook, Kana Priya Das. And he was such a good cook, he would make so much prasadam for Prabhupada. And Prabhupada, you know, as we know, many times at night he wouldn't take heavy stuff, so he'd just take a little bit. And all this prasadam will be left from lunch and dinner and evening snack and like this. So one day Nanda Kumar Prabhu actually overate. He overate and he slept in the next morning. And then so many things to do during the day that he couldn't actually finish his rounds. He only completed 14 rounds. And he had 2 rounds pending. And the next time, Prabhupada saw him, next morning Prabhupada saw him, immediately Prabhupada's first question was, are you chanting all your rounds? Are you chanting your 16 rounds? And this devotee was shocked because this is the first time ever he skipped 2 rounds. And he was going to finish it the next day. But Prabhupada immediately asked him, are you chanting all your rounds? And this devotee said, oh, actually, you know, Prabhupada, I didn't chant 16 rounds, but I chanted 14 rounds. Prabhupada said, so it's so important for you to chant 16 rounds every day. And if you're doing that, it's like a child holding the hands of a mother. And even if the child falls, he quite doesn't fall because the mother holds him up. Similarly, Prabhupada said to him, if you're chanting 16 rounds every day, even if you fall, you don't quite fall, Krishna lifts you up. And Prabhupada explained to him how that at this stage, he says, Prabhupada's eyes got really big. And he says, but if you're not chanting your 16 rounds, your whereabouts in this material world are unknown. And he says, it was very scary to hear that like point of being in an unknown place in this material world. And this is very instructive for all of us, because many times we get into this habit of chanting certain number of rounds, and then somehow or other we have so many things to do that we're not able to finish, and then we think we will make it up the next day. Which is true, which is good. But Nanda Kumar Prabhu was explaining from his own experience, that's how the fall down actually begins. Maya is actually so subtle, you're not going to fall down immediately like boom, you know. It can also happen like that, but generally it's like, you know, it starts like something like this, and then gradually, you know, we become like so accustomed to not finishing our rounds. And, you know, he was actually saying that, you know, he wished that he was always chanting his 16 rounds and following the principles. Another time he came in Prabhupada's room, and Prabhupada saw him without neck beads. So Prabhupada asked him, like, where are your neck beads? And Nanda Kumar Prabhu said, oh, they actually broke. I'm going to fix them. And Prabhupada said, do it immediately. And Prabhupada explained to him, if you actually understood what is your position in this material world without neck beads, you'll be shaking in your boots. It's actually like scary, you know. We all know this pastime of Ajamil and the Yamadutas. So many instructive stories and memories and teachings are available for us. And as we can see, like Prabhupada actually emphasized, he's being expert, Prabhupada being the man of essence. He actually gave us the essence of all the Vedas, all Krishna consciousness. It's like one time Hari Sauri Prabhu was, Hari Vilas Prabhu, excuse me, was riding with Prabhupada in France in a car, and it was so noisy, and he actually asked Prabhupada like about this sloka, you know, what is the time, what's the night for all living beings, is the day for the, you know, enlightened. And Prabhupada didn't quite hear the question. So Prabhupada thought Hari Vilas is asking about the time of awakening. So Prabhupada said, 4 o'clock, 4 o'clock. And then Hari Vilas actually was shy to ask the question again. So he asked the devotee next to him, said, can you ask this question? And the devotee said, oh, Prabhupada, he wants to ask about this sloka in the Bhagavad Gita where it says the night, you know, For enlightened, what's the night for the all living entities is like, you know, it's opposite, it's day and night. And Prabhupada said, oh, this verse actually means that the karmis, when they see us, they laugh, they think, what a useless guy. These guys don't know what to do with themselves. And when we see them, we think how crazy these people are. They think we are crazy and we think they are crazy. And Prabhupada said, at least we know we are crazy. So this is, you know, very beautiful way of Prabhupada's style of explaining things, where even though it's deep philosophical point, but Prabhupada made into a very simple point, simple explanation. So what I wanted to, by reading this translation purport, I just had this realization. Prabhupada is talking about, even the chapter is entitled, Lord is equal to everyone. And Prabhupada is emphasizing Krishna's mercy. And Krishna's mercy is coming to us in the form of Prabhupada's books. And in Prabhupada's books, Prabhupada is emphasizing basic points again and again. No matter who we are, whether we are young or old in Krishna consciousness, we should stick to the basics. Always chanting 16 rounds before, you know, the end of the day and following the regulative principles. That will help in all circumstances, ups and downs. Like my guru, he says, he always prays to the deities to have the enthusiasm of a new bhakta and a maturity of an older devotee. He says we need to have this combination. So we can, just by strictly following this instruction of Prabhupada, of taking the 16 rounds and regulative principles seriously, then, you know, so many things can happen, so many ups and downs, but we are sure to make progress. Otherwise, our lives are just filled with regrets, like these older devotees. You know, they're remembering, you know, Prabhupada. And after being around for like 60 years, like Stevira Bhakti Prabhu always enlightens me. He says, like, you know, you're so fortunate you're serving when you're young, you know. And 30 years have just gone by since I started Krishna consciousness. I don't know how fast the time went. So it's true. If you just stick to the simple process, then, you know, we have like very successful future. Otherwise, we just like look back and we regret, like just like everybody else. There's nothing special about that. So, any questions or comments? Ganesh Prabhu. Can you give the microphone to Ganesh Prabhu?
Hari, thank you for the inspiring class, Prabhu. On the 16 rounds, why hesitate to complete them during the day? You should complete them as soon as possible. It's like clearing out all the static that's keeping the mercy, the full mercy of Krishna coming down. And thus it will empower us to do our service at our best. Like setting the table so that Krishna can come and use us as his puppets the rest of the day. So why wait? You know, it's just bumbling around. Just chant your 16 rounds minimum. And then you'll be fully empowered to do your best that day. Every day we should take as though it's our last day, last opportunity to serve Krishna. Future's promised to no one. So, at least 16.
Nice. Whatever I said in 45 minutes, you said it in 2 minutes. Anything else? Suhas Prabhu, you'd like to say something?
Thank you for a nice class. Well, I think you said pretty much most of what's necessary. But it would be important to try to improve our sadhana in all aspects. The famous pastime of Prabhupada in Atlanta, he was having a Sankirtan class, and they asked Srila Prabhupada how we should, what should we do to make advancement in Krishna consciousness. And Prabhupada surprisingly said that the way that one can make advancement in Krishna consciousness is that when you begin the chanting of your 16 rounds, that you should not stop till you finish your 16 rounds. And Prabhupada was suggesting this is the best means of making rapid and sincere advancement in Krishna consciousness. So when we chant, as you suggested, you were saying in your class, that, you know, we don't finish and we do something later, we finish them later, that's an impediment. That can impede our progress in Krishna consciousness. And Krishna consciousness is something that we need to constantly be working at, like an airplane in the sky. If you fly in an airplane, it'll fly as long as the fuel is in the jet, and you keep going and going to your destination. So in the same way, if we chant our rounds, we have to be constantly, you know, supplying fuel to our desire to make advancement. And that is the chanting of the holy name, constantly feeding the Krishna consciousness within us. So it's probably very important for all of us to take seriously that if we want to make advancement, according to what Srila Prabhupada suggested in Atlanta, we should begin our rounds and not stop till we finish, which means maybe we have to give up something, either sleeping a little bit longer, we may have to give up a little bit, you know, less eating. Something has to be given up in order to accomplish that goal. So this is what the austerity is in Krishna consciousness. That's the sacrifice. And if we want to make serious advancement, we need to seriously consider making sacrifice or tapasya.
Ganesh, one more thing. Thank you so much, Prabhu. It was nice.
Okay, in regards to initiated devotees and those who are living in the ashram, of course, they follow four regulated principles, chant 16 rounds, otherwise you're not here. But what about a new devotee, a novice, who's just taking up the process? You know, we'll say, well, you never chanted before, so you chant four rounds a day. And then you try to bump them up until 16. But how much, you know, stick with ourself, leaning with others, that's the principle. But if someone's hanging out, associating with devotees, at what point do we try to inspire them or get them around to chanting 16 rounds? Are they sheltered by Krishna during that time? Because my understanding, if you don't follow four regulated principles, you can't chant 16 rounds. And if you don't chant your 16 rounds, you won't be able to follow the four regulated principles. So I'm just throwing that out. If you have any feedback on that.
Can you say something to us? Please.
Well, in order to live in, like you would say, an ashram, it's a requirement to chant 16 rounds and follow four regulative principles. If we can't do that, then we cannot live in, like, let's say, the ashram. And if you're a householder, a grihastha, sometimes due to circumstances, like Srila Prabhupada, he was married. He had a full-time job, business. He would chant four rounds when he got up, then four rounds after breakfast, four rounds during lunch, and then four rounds before he took rest at night. Because in between he had to have a livelihood. So, depending on the circumstance, but when we live in an ashram, the primary purpose of living in an ashram is to focus on development of our Krishna consciousness. So, most of us don't have to worry about cooking. There's someone that cooks for us. So all we have to do is just show up on time and, you know, take prasadam. So we don't have to worry about that. We do all have service to do in order to keep the temple going, worship the deities and things of that nature. So it would be imperative as a new devotee to develop some kind of strategy to chant so many for a certain amount of time and then do one's service and then again continue with the chanting till one actually becomes expert in terms of focusing on chanting and chanting very focused, trying to improve. Like maybe when you first start, it takes you 10 minutes. Maybe it'd be better to see how you can start chanting rounds at 8 minutes and still keep the focus. And that'll help a lot. So it's a matter of focus. And of course, again, to keep some type of standard, it's imperative that we finish 16 rounds a day. But for a new novice in the ashram, maybe there has to be some kind of strategy individually as how to accomplish that goal in chanting 16 rounds. And I'm sure we can help them figure it out. But as far as a senior devotee goes, these days a senior devotee doesn't imply just a Prabhupada disciple, but it applies to devotees that have been in the movement for several years, 5, 6, 7 years. We should be becoming more expert at chanting our 16 rounds. We should be more focused. We should be chanting very nicely and understand the importance of chanting very nice rounds to determine what our day will be like. If we don't chant very nicely, if we don't focus on our chanting, then you know that during the day there's going to be so many difficulties, so many problems. It's like if we don't come to Mangal Artik and you begin chanting your rounds at 6 or 7 o'clock in the morning, you've missed the Brahma Muhurta hours, which are the most auspicious in terms of our sadhana. So there, right there in itself, one is developing a bad habit and a difficulty for one's advancement in Krishna consciousness. So the ashram means that we try to focus on how to make advancement and focus on how to serve Krishna. And that should be our life.
Jai. Thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.